Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and live from the Lions Half Victory Parade, it's the Fourth and Inches show with Jenna and the Sherpa. Jenna, how are you this week? Your Cowboys made a mincemeat out of the Falcons.
Yes, yeah. So I'm feeling good about that. As I was very nervous, things would not go well, so that was nice. I mean, I think I'm doing better than the Steelers are. That was very embarrassing this week. I mean, I don't know how many different ways the Lions can lose a football game.
No, but Blue the Cat was getting excited for a while because the Bengals were on a bye this week, so they couldn't lose. Jacksonville was actually somewhat competitive in the game against
Indianapolis. Yeah, they were thinking about winning for a second there.
Yeah, Detroit pulled out a tie in Carolina with the surprise victory at Arizona, so a good week for Cat teams, a relatively good week.
It was.
Still only one win among the four, but that qualifies as a good week for Cat teams this season.
The bar is pretty low, but you know what? That's okay. We'll take
I think they might all be picking in the top five of the draft next season. Well, maybe not Carolina.
How many people do you have in the top five of the draft at this point? We're getting close to the end of the season. You should have about 13 teams there.
I think you're exaggerating. I think I only have 10 in my top five draft picks.
only
10 teams in the running for top five draft picks at this point.
Thankfully, for once, it's not the Cowboys. Although,
no.
Blue the
they
Kitten,
will not
Blue
be
the
picking
Kitten,
in the top five
or formerly known as the Kitten. Blue the Cat
the Giants
seems
pick.
To have not joined us yet, but Mia, my cat, seems to have some opinions here. I think she also has 10 teams.
So
Mia
is
five.
Short for Miami. Is she a Dolphins fan?
I mean, she's not a Dolphins fan. I think she's a big
probably
fan
not
of Mike
Gesicki fan
like
if
you.
She had him on her team last weekend.
A hot 0 points. That was rough. That was
targets, no less.
I don't know how Devontae Parker's on IR. You had, like, sort of functional quarterbacking going on. I don't understand how that happens. I mean, at one point, he just was, like, blatantly dropping footballs. Maybe he had some money on the game. I don't know. But it's got to be better this week. That's all I can think.
Oh, should be
gosh.
Giving the opponent, but I'm not so sure. We'll get to our game picks later.
Yeah. I'm sure there will be some dissension, as there usually is. Pretty much my only thing to gloat about this week is that I somehow called the WTF winning last week, which...
You did get the WTF.
Not a lot of other good happened, but we got that.
Over the TVs. Yes.
Yeah.
I did receive a text from Jenna.
As promised.
After the game, gloating. Which
I mean,
I
held it as long
do.
As it could. I will say I did make some money off them, and I'm pleased about that, but... I think that's probably the last value we're going to have out of them this season.
Maybe the Lions.
But, yeah, I mean, at some point. Some point it's going to happen. At least they have their tie. It won't be the totally defeated Lions. Partially. They're also going to attempt to start a quarterback who's still currently on IR this week. So the Lions are really taking it to a new level. But before we get to that,
their new quarterback certainly is appropriately named given how the team is playing this year.
You're not kidding. It's rough. But we're going to dive in. We've got the ever-present COVID update, injuries, news, notes, waiver wire pickups, who to start, who to sit, your game predictions, daily fantasy picks. We got it all for you. We'll be here for a full hour, as we are every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. So if you missed an episode, you need some good Wednesday night plans, whatever, we're here for you. And, of course, you can find us everywhere you download your favorite podcast. So take us on the go, travel. We make a commute very nice. You can find us all week long all over social media. We're on Twitter at the number 4THN Inches Show, at JKIM16 and Fantasy_Sherpa. You can find us on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page. And you can email us at the number 4THN Inches Show@gmail.com. So we're all over the place. Before we dive into the injuries, don't forget we are still in the fun of the bye weeks. This week it's the Broncos and the Rams. The way the Rams have been playing the last 2 weeks, maybe it's not that big of a loss, but, no Teddy Two Gloves, no Matt Stafford, no Cooper Kupp this week, so we've got some holes to fill there. Before we get into the real injuries here, COVID is still running wild in the NFL. The Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger tested positive. wasn't able to play on Sunday. They are not sure if he's going to play or not this week, but Mike Tomlin said he doesn't need to practice. As long as he gets cleared, he's going to play. Is that the smartest thing in the world? I don't know. But also now the defense is starting to catch it as well. Minkah Fitzpatrick tested positive on Monday, so he's in jeopardy to play this Sunday. Obviously, where there's one person with COVID, more can come. So keep that in mind when you're setting your lineups. On the other side of the
country, Browns running back situation,
if you want
to see what COVID can do to a team between COVID and the IR. I think Darius Johnson's the only healthy guy they have on the team right now, running back-wise.
Yes, that is super correct. Looking like he could get some more good touches this week. Nick Chubb, speaking of the Browns, still not activated off the COVID list. He clearly is having symptoms, hasn't been able to get those negative tests yet, even being vaccinated. So they're not sure at this point if he's going to be able to play this week. Kareem Hunt's not going to get activated. Darius Johnson is literally the last man standing. So the Browns are in a bad way. The Chargers put Joey Bosa on the COVID list yesterday after two of their defensive tackles tested positive. Joey Bosa, however, not tested positive. He is unvaccinated, and he's a close contact. So he has to quarantine for 5 days and continue testing negative. He did test negative today, they announced, so he's on track to potentially be able to play this Sunday, but it's a gray area. It's going
to
be pretty close. So
he goes out
Chargers
to dinner
defense,
with him on Saturday night.
Yeah, right. The Chargers defense is definitely going to look different this week. The Bengals, Bills, and Falcons all also have put players on the COVID list this week with positive tests. So keep in mind these are teams where it could continue to spread when you have people like Cole Beasley and Joey Bosa are walking around unvaccinated. Also, in better COVID news, it looks like Greg Zuerlein is going to be activated off the COVID list tomorrow. So he's actually probably a kicker you want on your fantasy team right now. He's finally going to be healthy, so that's good. In non-COVID injury news, Rams wide receiver Robert Woods, a.k.a. Bobby Trees, who we spent some time talking about last week after the Odell Beckham Jr. signing, wondering how are they going to find targets for all of these players, especially when Robert Woods was already feeling that he wasn't getting enough, went out on Friday and tore his ACL in practice, which was really interesting in that he got hurt on a play, got up, finished the rest of the practice, fully practicing, did all of his media commitments, and then someone stuck him in an MRI machine and realized he had a fully torn ACL. So can you imagine how strong he is that he just was out there running around like it was no big deal? So he is unfortunately done for the season, which frees up some of those targets for Odell Beckham Jr. The Panthers are prepping Cam Newton to be their starter this week versus, when you know, old Riverboat Ron, his former coach, who didn't want him anymore in Carolina. After we saw Cam come in and get a couple of touchdowns, and it's just a weird setup. But P.J. Walker's also going to be ready, but Cam Newton's going to probably be your starter for the Panthers this week. And in other big news, the Packers are going to be without running back Aaron Jones for 1 to 2 weeks. He's got a sprained MCL. It didn't look great. Out in Arizona, we thought, as we have the last 2 weeks, Kyler Murray was going to play this week. He was getting closer. He was feeling good. Tell me if you've heard this before. He's getting closer to playing. He's feeling good. That ankle isn't bothering him as much. He's actually practicing some. It's limited, so he might just be on a stationary bike for all we know most of the time. But he seemed to think he's going to play. He seemed to think that the last 2 weeks. Let's also keep in mind the Cardinals have their bye next week. So if I were the Cardinals, I'm probably not running him out there. But who knows at this point. It'll be a game-time decision, so if you have Kyler Murray on your team, please go pick another quarterback up. I already have. You should already have as well. Wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins didn't play last week as well. The second straight game, he's not practicing at all. That hamstring injury seems to be more severe. It doesn't look like he's going to play this week. Again, the bye week's coming up. He needs some time to get healthy. Quarterback Colt McCoy was knocked out of Sunday's game with what they're calling a pectoral strain. He's been limited to practice, so it looks like he will probably be able to go if Kyler Murray doesn't, but we're not really going to know who's going to play quarterback for the Cardinals until probably about 2 hours before game time. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a good week to be a third-string quarterback, it looks like, in the NFL.
Maybe Colin Kaepernick.
Between the Lions and the Jets and the Cardinals. Yeah, I mean, Colin Kaepernick could be coming out of the woodwork any day now. The Cardinals also officially put running back Chase Edmonds on IR on Saturday with that ankle injury, so he's going to be out at least 3 weeks now. Out in Atlanta, obviously things didn't go great for them last week, and they're playing tomorrow night, Thursday night. Cordell Patterson, running back, wide receiver, everyman, kick returner, is going to be a game-time decision with an ankle injury. It looks like there's a decent chance he's not going to play. So for those of you using him in your flex spot, probably want to throw somebody else in there this week. Out in Baltimore, running back Latavius Murray was limited at practice. He's coming off the bye week. He hasn't played in a couple of weeks. It looks like the ankle's getting healthier, so that's a good sign. And what's a good sign for him, but maybe not for Le'Veon Bell? The Ravens did release Le'Veon Bell this week, which makes you think Latavius Murray is probably healthier than it looks. Wide receiver Marquise Brown didn't practice today. He's dealing with a thigh injury. He has been playing through it, so he's likely going to do that again, but he's going to be listed as questionable up until game time. Lamar Jackson's not practicing. He's sick for the third time this season, and that does not include his two stints with COVID. So he does not have COVID. He does have a virus. So he will play this week unless, you know, he ends up hospitalized between now and then, which doesn't look likely. Out in Buffalo, Cole Beasley, who I mentioned is unvaccinated, is actually not practicing because he had a rib injury he suffered on Sunday. But you know, the facility is walking around with COVID. So I would maybe not think that he's going to be a great play this week, but you can keep an eye on him. In Chicago, running back Damian Williams is limited to practice today, which is a good sign. He hasn't been practicing a whole lot. He's dealing with a knee injury. Wide receiver Darnell Mooney was limited as well with a foot injury. In more concerning news, wide receiver Allen Robinson is not practicing at all with a hamstring injury. It doesn't look like he has a great chance of playing this week, but it's going to go down towards the end of the week. They are hoping to get Khalil Mack back this week from the ankle injury. Remember, they're coming off their bye as well. Out in Cleveland, as we mentioned, still got the COVID running wild. Nick Chubb's still not off the COVID list. Kareem Hunt is not going to be activated off IR this week, maybe next week, but it seems like this calf is healing slowly. Wide receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones has been limited with a groin injury, just like last week. He played through it last week, but clearly was not as effective or dynamic as he normally is. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about whether or not you put him in your lineup this week. And quarterback Baker Mayfield says he is, quote, as beat up as he's ever been. He's not practicing. He's going to play unless the coaches literally do not let him go on the field. He's now got the torn labrum in his left shoulder, a left knee injury, and a left foot injury. So the left side of his body is not doing great. The right side seems to be okay, however.
White cells are dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Out in Detroit, as we've alluded to, there is some quarterback instability. Jared Goff is dealing with an oblique strain. He says his availability is going to, quote, depend on functionality. He says he can manage the pain, but whether or not he can be functional is going to decide if he plays or not. The Lions are preparing for Tim Boyle to be the starter this week, not David Blau, who's actually the second quarterback on their depth chart. Let's also remember that Tim Boyle is actually still technically on injured reserve. He has not been officially activated off it yet. He was put on with a broken finger. So the Lions are preparing to start a guy currently on IR, which seems very Detroit Lions of them. So we'll see how that goes. I'm guessing not great. Running back Jamal Williams is back at practice in limited fashion, but still there dealing with a thigh injury. That's a good sign this week, especially because the run game is probably going to be very necessary. Out in Green Bay,
you're
quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
About who the quarterback's going to be too.
Yep. I think you're right. In Green Bay, quarterback Aaron Rodgers didn't practice today with what he's calling a toe injury. He's officially questionable. He's going to play this week. Davante Adams was limited today with a shoulder injury. He's going to play through that. Out in Indianapolis, quarterback Carson Wentz, his wife had their baby on Monday. So he's sleep deprived this week, but he's going to be playing. He reportedly was doing some film study in the hospital. Just remember, never throw over the middle. Just keep telling your newborns that and you should be fine. In Jacksonville, running back Carlos Hyde's been limited at practice with a shoulder injury, and running back James Robinson is not practicing. He's definitely questionable coming into this week. He was dealing with just a heel/ankle sprain. Now he's also added a knee injury to that designation, so it's looking like there's a real chance he won't play. In Kansas City, in potentially better running back news, they're going to see how Clyde Edwards-Helaire practices this week before deciding if they're going to officially activate him off IR for this week's game. obviously as a Cowboys fan, I know how I want that to go, but pretty much everyone else was like, play that Ric Flair to get activated. My fantasy team would. In Las Vegas, running back Josh Jacobs has been limited today with a knee injury, and Jalen Richard is not practicing at all with rib injuries, so a little banged up there. It looks like Josh Jacobs will be fine for this weekend. In Miami, as we mentioned, Mike Gesicki did not have any catches last week, which is terrible. But Tua Tagovailoa did return. He did not start. Jacoby Brissett was your starter. He was knocked out of the game with a knee injury. Tua came in and actually looked pretty good. He is going to be the starter this week. Jacoby Brissett is fully practicing. He's able to play. So if things go sideways, you may see him back in the game. But for the moment, Tua is your starter in Miami. In New England, coming into tomorrow night's game, N'Keal Harry is questionable with a knee injury. Running back Brandon Bolden is also questionable. He's dealing with a hip injury, but it looks like the backfield has gotten over all of their concussions, so that is a plus. In New Orleans, quarterback Taysom Hill, who's also fresh off his own concussion, also now practicing now with a foot injury, so he's questionable coming into this weekend. In better news there, running back Alvin Kamara is back to practice today. He missed last week's game with a knee injury. He was limited, but it looks like he's on pace to play this week, which is a very good thing for the Saints. Sure, those Giants are still dealing with a lot. Wide receiver Sterling Shepard was limited to practice, dealing with quad injury. It's not looking very promising, but he's still healthier than some of your other wide receivers. Running back Saquon Barkley had a much better practice. Even though he's designated as limited, he did a lot more. So it's looking like he's going to play this week finally with that ankle injury. On the other hand, Devontae Booker did not practice today. He's listed with a hip injury, but they're saying he missed practice today with personal reasons, so he should be good to go this weekend. Also, kicker Graham Gano is sick. He's not practicing. Does not have the COVID, but might not be kicking this week. In New York, the Jets are going to start Joe Flacco quarterback this week. So that's how things are going there. They decided he is going to be the better option over Mike White. Zach Wilson is apparently still not totally ready to go with that knee injury. So here we are. I'm really sorry, Jets fans. That is not great. Wide receiver Denzel Mims has not been activated off the COVID list after he tested positive in this Sunday's game. In Philadelphia, tight end Dallas Goedert, he hit his head really hard on Sunday. I would not be surprised if you don't see him play this week, but he is currently not out of the concussion protocol yet, not practicing. They did open the practice window for running back Miles Sanders today. So he could be designated to return from IR this week. They're not sure yet if he's going to play. They're in kind of wait-and-see mode to see how his ankle responds. It doesn't look like they're leaning towards actually having him play, but we'll see as the week goes on. In Pittsburgh, not only do they have COVID, but Chase Claypool is dealing with a toe injury. Didn't play last week. He was limited today. But at least he's on the field, which is a plus. They had a scary moment last week with T.J. Watt getting knocked out of the game. He doesn't have any structural damage in his knee or his hip. He's got a lot of soreness. He's questionable going into this week. So that will probably be a game-time decision. And more interesting news, I guess, in San Francisco, running back Elijah Mitchell fractured his finger, had surgery yesterday, and is planning to play on Sunday. He's also listed with a rib injury, but everybody seems pretty positive that he's going to play on Sunday. So more power to him. Running back Michael Heisey did not practice today with an ankle injury, so again, they kind of need Elijah Mitchell out there. It looks like he's going to go. Wide receiver Debo Samuel has been limited with a shin injury. He's going to keep playing. He's still going to have a monster game. I wouldn't worry too much about it. They did, however, put wide receiver Mohamed Sanu on IR with a knee injury on Monday. Out in Seattle, it looks like we're going to get running back Chris Carson back from IR last week with that neck injury he'd been dealing with. He said it wasn't feeling pain, but he didn't get activated, and now he's not practicing at all. They're saying he's not progressing the way they hoped. Doesn't look like he's going to get activated this week. I'm a lot more concerned about that. His season might get shut down if we're not careful, and my fantasy team could use him. So please come back. Please get healthy. In Tampa Bay, a lot of injuries going around there. Richard Sherman hurt his calf pregame warming up on Sunday. He's now officially on IR as of today. He's going to be out at least 3 weeks. Tight end Rob Gronkowski and wide receiver Antonio Brown are both listed officially as questionable. Gronk's dealing with that back injury. Antonio Brown's got that sprained ankle. It looks like Gronkowski has a much better chance of playing, but they'll both probably be game time decisions. In Tennessee, running back Jeremy McNichols is dealing with a concussion. He's not practicing. So, again, keep an eye on him as the week goes. The old WTF, the Washington football team, wide receiver Terry McLaurin was limited with a shoulder injury. He will play through it unless there's some kind of major setback between now and Sunday. Running back Antonio Gibson's limited with a shin injury. That's going to be how it is for the rest of the season. He's going to keep playing. It's just a matter of how many targets, how many carries he's going to get. Curtis Samuel didn't play last week. He's not practicing. That groin injury is still not getting better. I wouldn't expect to see him on the field this week. We're also not going to likely see tight end Logan Thomas, who we thought maybe had a chance of getting activated off IR last week. He's been dealing with that hamstring injury most of the season. He's not practicing today, so it's not looking like he's going to get activated this week, which is a problem because Ricky Seals-Jones, his replacement, is not practicing with a hip injury. So things at tight end are a little murky at Washington, and unfortunately for them, their star defensive player, Chase Young, tore his ACL during the game on Sunday. He's done for the year. So the defense is going to be looking a little different come Sunday. So we have a few people to replace. How's the waiver wire looking today, Sherpa? What have you been up to in that?
Just collecting the garbage, taking it out, and then relaxing for a bit. But I'm back now.
There you go. I'm glad you rested for it.
Yeah, I'm a domestic kind of person here. So let's see, waiver wire. Lots of wide receivers, as usual. Just a handful of running backs that I would mention. Ramondre Stevenson with New England. They're getting ready for their Super Bowl revenge match with Atlanta. And you know, he looked pretty good. Of course, now if Damian Harris really does come back, that makes him a lot less attractive option. But you figure that you know they'd probably
be
at least in a timeshare this weekend. So. Or I should say tomorrow night. So he's a pretty attractive choice. Matt Breida, how many people have him on their fantasy teams? Probably nobody before this
weekend.
But he's back with a vengeance for Buffalo. They're hosting Indianapolis this weekend. The Eagles' three-headed backfield monster continues. Boston Scott, part of that. They're hosting New Orleans this weekend. And given that everybody else is hurt in the Detroit backfield, Jamar Jefferson might be a long shot pick up if you're desperate for running back this week. But pretty short list, but maybe one or two of those guys have a good game for you this weekend.
Hey, it's better than you know an empty running back slot. So there's some opportunity. I mean, it's not like it's a total long shot,
right? But
we'll take it.
Yeah, Stevenson, I would say, is probably the best. Matt Breida, interesting, you know, depending on how you think that game is going to go. There might be a fair amount of garbage time in that game, and if so, you know, he might get some more run than he would otherwise. But we'll see.
Yeah, hey, only one way to find out for sure. But I think those are good options.
Yep. Wide receiver-wise, New England also has an attractive entry on that list, Kendrick Bourne. And I know we're not there yet, but, you know, shout out to Jacoby Myers for finally scoring his first NFL touchdown last weekend.
I'm so excited.
We can it's take the Jacoby Myers touchdown watch
off. I benched him. So, you know, that's your first win.
It serves you right. So, Jamal Agnew with Jacksonville, DeAndre Carter with Washington, Byron Pringle with Kansas City, Albert Wilson with Miami, Traquan Smith with New Orleans, Gabriel Davis with Buffalo, Robbie Anderson with Carolina, Ray-Ray McLeod with the Steelers, Marquez Callaway also with the Saints, and Isaiah Ford also with the Dolphins. All had good weeks last week and are reasonably attractive and widely available fantasy options for this weekend.
Yeah, I think there's some pretty solid options there.
Kendrick Bourne, Jamal Agnew, and Marquez Callaway, probably my favorites from that list, but you know, who knows?
That's true. I mean, Marquez Callaway's got to get it together at some point here, right? Like, you
would think, but I don't know.
I mean, hopefully this will be the week.
Quarterback-wise, a few interesting choices. Mac Jones really seems to be coming into his own. I don't think he's going to lead the league in, you know, touchdown passes or anything, but, you know, he's certainly efficient in that defense is clamping down on people, and their offense mm-hmm. seems to have figured out how to score points. So, you know, he might be an attractive option if you need one for this weekend. A little hesitant to recommend Trevor Siemian, but here we are. Taylor Heineke, Jimmy Garoppolo, Mason Rudolph, and Cam Newton might be a speculative play with some upside, as you mentioned, with the revenge game against Riverboat Ron this weekend.
Yeah, yeah, they want to make it work. I mean, when you pay a man $6.5 million just to show up, like, you want to get something out of that. I guess I can understand that. Yeah.
Tight end-wise, Tyler Conklin still out there in a lot of leagues, Dan Arnold, Austin Hooper, and Gerald Everett. I'm not sure that Conklin and Arnold are good plays this weekend, but if you need somebody for more than a week, both those guys might be worth investigating.
Yeah. I mean, I just wish Dan Arnold was still the Panther, but other than that, I have no problem with it.
Well, now that Sam Darnold isn't going to be throwing any touchdowns for them anytime soon, if ever. Yeah, well, maybe Dan Arnold, I mean, maybe Sam Darnold will wind up as Jacksonville's backup next year, or maybe they'll both wind up in Houston or Detroit or something.
Yeah, hey, they could be anywhere. I just want you to remember. E.J. Beathard, the gunslinger, is currently quarterback too in Jacksonville. I don't know who would ever want to replace
Darnold
him.
I hope Sam Darnold is the starting quarterback for the Cowboys on week one next year, because that would mean some things have gone terribly wrong. But, you know.
The Cowboys, that could happen at any moment.
Yeah, it's true.
Never rule it out.
And as far as defenses you might want to consider streaming this weekend, San Francisco at Jacksonville, the Chargers hosting Pittsburgh, Eagles hosting New Orleans, Miami on the road against the Jets, Cincinnati on the road at Las Vegas home against Cincinnati, and the Jets hosting Miami. So last week it was a strange week. It seemed like every game was either a blowout or an upset. This week I think there'll be some low-scoring games.
Yeah, I think we'll have more competitive games, but, I mean, there were a lot of upsets. There was a lot of weird last week.
Yeah, it was a strange week. I'm playing a pick'em pool, and of the, you know, 14 games last weekend, I think the winning team had 8 right. It was pretty bad.
Wow. Yeah, it wasn't good for any of us. It's a bloodbath out there.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
you know,
tough week.
We
hopefully this
back.
Will be a better week.
Yeah, here's hoping. Here's hoping. But let's take a look at who we like this week. There's some good starts and sits. There's some definite sits, but there's some good starts here. I guess, who are we going to run about?
Christian McCaffrey, who hasn't really been a frequent guest on my list this year, partly because of injury, partly because I haven't liked the matchups, but he's number one on my list this week, believe it or not. Ezekiel Elliott, 2. Austin Eckler, 3. Josh Jacobs, if he's healthy enough to play, 4. James Conner, Leonard Fournette. Dante Foreman, who seems to have a very tenuous grip on the lead running back job there in Tennessee, although still looks like a committee. Damian Harris, if he's able to play, Devonta Freeman, and Darrell Williams, assuming that Clyde Edwards-Hilaire is not back at full strength. And honorable mentions to Zach Moss in Buffalo and Jeff Wilson with San Francisco.
Well, okay. All right. Jeff Wilson popping up. I like it. I've got Najee Harris at the top of my list. I didn't think I would be here, but here we are. But the only thing I like about the Steelers offense. Austin Eckler coming in at number 2 for me. Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey is down at 4 on my list. I'm mostly worried about having Cam Newton in. I think he's going to try to run too much, and it's going to be too much of a Cam Newton show. But He and Christian McCaffrey were hugging it out. Maybe it'll go better. Jonathan Taylor at 5, Alvin Kamara, DeAndre Swift, James Conner, Ezekiel Elliott, and Joe Mixon checking in at number 10.
All right, I've got Dalvin Cook at the top of my avoid list. James Robinson, if he's even healthy enough to play. David Montgomery, Darnus Johnson, Najee Harris, A.J. Dillon, Miles Gaskin, Jordan Howard, Boston Scott, David Johnson, and dishonorable mention to Mike Davis.
Poor Mike Davis on the dishonorable mention list. I've got Nick Chubb at the top of my list. Even if he gets healthy and activated, he's clearly having COVID symptoms. Despite being vaccinated, he's still dealing with this. And not being able to breathe very well doesn't make for a very strong running back. So I'm thinking maybe this is a week I'd stay away from him. If the Eagles get crazy and activate Miles Sanders, I don't want any part of it. That ankle injury was bad. They still don't really know how to handle their run game. I don't want to be anywhere near it. Cordarrelle Patterson, I'm staying away from it as well, even if he plays tomorrow night. I don't like it. Thursday night games, a bad ankle. It's just not good all the way around. Nyheim Hines, David Johnson, Boston Scott, clearly I'm not real high on the Eagles backfield this week. Brandon Bolden, Alex Collins, Devin Singletary, and Deontay Freeman.
Okay, how about wide receivers? Who do you like this week?
Loving Devontae Adams. I think obviously that game last week was really just terrible. It wasn't fun to watch. It didn't look like it was fun to play in. Both teams need some redemption. I think Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams will have a much better week this week. Tyreek Hill, I think, will also have a pretty nice day against Cowboys defense. Stephon Diggs, Deebo Samuel, who despite maybe not having the world's greatest quarterback throwing to him, maybe having a bad leg, I think he's still in for a very big game this week. Jamar Chase, A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Keenan Allen, and D.K. Metcalf, despite getting thrown out, trying to put himself back in the game. I think he's got a little bit to prove this week, and he's going to remind people why he's so dynamic. I got to say, I wish he'd put on the fake mustache and glasses and really
Bobby
sold
Valentine
it.
Disguise.
Yep, a la Bobby Valentine, but unfortunately we did not get that. So all of that.
Well, he was on my avoid list last week, which is probably why he got thrown out of the game. He was upset about that.
He knew.
So Tyreek Hill at the top of my recommended list for this week, Amari Cooper, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, D.J. Moore, Hunter Renfrow, C.D. Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, I think, might be a healthier option, and Deebo Samuel, Robbie Anderson, Brian Edwards rounding out my top 10, and honorable mention to A.J. Green. So I managed to work in both A.J. Brown and A.J. Green, who collectively shall perforce be known as A.J. Colors.
I like that. A.J. Colors. We've now put them as one human. I'm into it. I would like to start all of the A.J. Colors. That makes a good deal of sense to me. However, I want to stay far, far away from Kenny Galladay. Same thing with Robbie Anderson. I don't feel good about that quarterback situation. I think that's pretty obvious. So who knows what's going to happen. I don't want any part of it. Jamison Crowder, Allen Robinson, like I said, that injury makes me very nervous. Allen Robinson, II, as well as Marvin Jones, II. Tyler Boyd, Marquise Callaway, as much as I would like to pick him up as a streaming option, maybe don't want to start him if I don't have to. Chase Claypool, that toe injury makes me nervous. Cole Beasley, and pretty much all of the Eagles wide receivers. I know after last week, it looks like maybe it's a good idea. It's not. Just stay away. I don't love it this week.
Justin Jefferson at the top of my avoid list for this week. Not real sanguine about their prospects against Green Bay's defense and secondary. Allen Robinson also high on my avoid list. Michael Pittman, Marvin Jones, Adam Thielen, Kenny Galladay also on my list. Russell Gage, Darnell Mooney, Brandon Cooks, Kadarius Toney, and dishonorable mention to a couple of Colts wide receivers, T.Y. Hilton and Zach Pascal.
Oh, sad. It's a sad list. A sad avoid list.
The avoid list is always a sad list, just by definition.
It is. It's hard today. Quarterbacks, maybe more upbeat on the side. People we want to start. Who are you liking at quarterback?
Patrick Mahomes. Actually, the top two quarterbacks on my list are both from the same game, which gives you some idea of where I think this game is headed. But Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott, 1 and 2 on my list. Ryan Tannehill, Josh Allen, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, who I'm guessing is not on your top 10 list. Cam Newton, probably not on your top 10 list either.
Also not.
Kyler Murray, if he's healthy enough to play, not on your top 10 list. Justin Herbert and Tom Brady rounding out my top 10 list.
Okay, well, my avoid list sounds remarkably similar to your start list, but I do have some other names on my list of players I like to start. I've got Josh Allen at the top of it, Lamar Jackson and his head cold virus, whatever's going on, at number two. Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes coming in at 3 and 4 for me. Tom Brady running out the top 5. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Tannehill, and Jalen Hurts. Not somebody who makes a lot of appearances on my start list, but you get in this week.
Okay, I've got Aaron Rodgers at the top of my avoid list, believe it or not. Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, Tyrod Taylor, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Daniel Jones, whoever starts for the Lions, Case Keenum, and whoever starts for the Steelers. Whoever starts for the Lions, whoever starts for the Browns, whoever starts for the Steelers, all on my avoid list.
That's fair.
I can't even speak the names.
That's fine. I've got Daniel Jones at the top of my avoid list. Joe Flacco also checking in there. Surprise, surprise. Trevor Lawrence. Jimmy Garoppolo, as predicted. Matt Ryan. Carson Wentz. Justin Fields. Cam Newton. Kirk Cousins. And Ben Roethlisberger / any of their backup quarterbacks, really. So, yes, I will also decline the entire Steelers quarterback situation.
Yeah, it's not pretty. Tight end-wise, who do you like?
I might be alone in this, but I don't have Travis Kelce at the top of my list. I actually have him at 3.
You are alone.
Is that Darren Waller? Yeah, I think I'm the only one on the planet, which is fine. I'm fine here. I've got Darren Waller at the top of my list. Yeah, exactly. George Kittle coming in at 2. Travis Kelce sliding in number 3 there. Mark Andrews and Kyle Pitts, kind of always there, always reliable. Mike Gesicki, going to bounce back. We're not putting up a 0 this week. Thinking much more in the double digits, which is great. I'm not giving up.
Pat just changed his uniform number to 0.
Maybe. I mean, that was...
I think that's still not an eligible number for tight ends.
Well, who knows these days? Probably a lineman's already wearing it. I mean, geez. I hate this number change thing. Pat Freiermuth.
Just ask Tom Brady.
Whoever plays quarterback for the Steelers has to throw the football to somebody in theory. And I think that somebody's going to be Pat Freiermuth. What he does with it from there, preferably not fumbling it at a very critical junction, would be nice. But we're looking on the positive here. T.J. Hockenson coming in at 8. Hunter Henry, who just scores a touchdown every week, regardless of his targets. And Dalton Schultz rounding out my top 10.
Okay, some overlap. Travis Kelce at the top of my list. George Kittle, who hasn't been on the list for a while.
Okay,
number 2
welcome.
For me.
Welcome back.
Darren Waller also on high on my list, even though his performance lately hasn't really suggested that he belongs there. Zach Ertz, yeah. Hunter Henry, Mark Andrews, Dalton Schultz, Dawson Knox, Jeff Swaim, who I don't think has ever been on this list before and probably never will be again.
I like it.
And Ian Thomas, same thing with him. He's been on the list a few times, but so far hasn't
Ian Thomas has an extra I in his name, doesn't he? I think that's his gimmick, but who knows? We'll see. So, an eclectic mix. I like it.
If I had one more eye, I'd be a Cyclops.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. I'm getting it together here. Okay. The avoid list, which is unfortunately does have some of your names on it. Ricky Fields-Jones / Logan Thomas / anybody who lines up at tight end for the Washington football team this week. C.J. Uzomah, Rob Gronkowski, healthy, not healthy, on the field, not on the field. I don't want any part of it. Cameron Brate, again, not really sure what's going on out there. Austin Hooper, Jeff Swaim, who I would love to recommend. I just maybe not this week. Zach Ertz also checking in here. Jared Cook, Jonnu Smith, and Dawson Knox.
All right. I've got T.J. Hockenson at the top of my avoid list. This seems to be a weekly occurrence with us. He's on your recommended list in my avoid list. Tyler Conklin,
he might be the new Mike
Gesicki.
I don't know.
Mike Gesicki is number three on my avoid list. I don't want to disappoint you there. Dallas Goedert, Cole Kmet, Evan Engram, C.J. Uzomah, both the Colts tight ends, Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox, and Sad Dan Arnold rounding out my or bottoming out my avoid list for this week.
I'm wondering if maybe like a witch or something put a curse on Sam Darnold and Dan Arnold when that trade happened, because neither of them, they were great before, it's never been the same after. Things have gone off a cliff, and I really think there's some kind of witchcraft involved here. It just can't be that simple as they're on different teams and things aren't working out.
No, well, like I said, they'll probably be the starting quarterback and tight end, respectively, for the Lions next season. But
upgrade. Sorry, Jerry Goff.
You're apparently not a T.J. Hockenson fan either, if you believe that.
I'm always a T.J. Hockenson fan, but, like, something's going to happen.
They'll run two tight end sets with Sam Darnold as your quarterback just so they can get Dan Arnold on the field at the same time.
I'm not mad about it. I'm actually very on board with this plan. Let's see. Let's get Motor City Dan Campbell on the phone. We'll pitch it.
All right. Defenses, I managed to confine myself to just 10 this week. I don't know if you've noticed, but all of my lists have had exactly 10 on them this week. So I'm Mr.
Very
Wolf
impressed.
Oliver,
this might be the first time all
at
season.
At least for 1 week.
one week only.
Seasons, but,
yeah, possibly.
So, Tennessee, Buffalo, and Tampa Bay are my first tier. San Francisco, Cleveland, Baltimore, and Green Bay, second tier. Detroit, the Jets, and the Chargers, third tier. And that adds up to 10 teams for those scoring at home or wherever you may be listening. Hopefully not in a
restaurant. This is mathematicians listening.
Or a library.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're soaping. I have the Titans, Dolphins, and Patriots in my top three. The Panthers, Bills, Ravens, believe it or not, the Lions, the 49ers, the Buccaneers, and the Cardinals, all checking in the top 10 this week.
This may be the only time in history that we both have the Lions in our recommended in our top 10 defenses list, but that
may
be more about their opponent than about them.
Yeah.
Okay. Avoid list, Dallas, Kansas City, Houston, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, Seattle, Indianapolis, the WTF, Pittsburgh, and the Giants, the NYG.
Yeah, the old NYG. It's not great out there. I also have the Chiefs on my avoid list. For me, the Cowboys are in purgatory. That may be wishful thinking, but there they are. The Bears, the Falcons, the Jaguars, the Jets, the Raiders, the Chargers, the Vikings, Colts, and the Eagles. So it's a real who's who of the avoid list this week. I mean, like you said, I think there's a fair amount of low-scoring games. Yeah, so let's dive right in.
Okay, first up, Thursday night game, Super Bowl rematch, and I think Atlanta will score fewer points the whole game than they did the first half of the Super Bowl. New England, I don't think will score all that many points either, but more than Atlanta. I'll say the Mac Jones and either Damian Harris or Ramondre Stevenson combination continues to roll. I'll say New England 27, Atlanta 24.
Yeah, I have it even lower scoring. I've got New England winning 28-14. I obviously I'm never going to pick the Falcons. It's just the way it is. But I think actually New England's going to win more by running the ball this week. I think it's just going to work out a lot better for them. So here we are. The run first New England Patriots.
So next up we've got Detroit traveling to their second consecutive AFC North opponent. Last week they managed to put up a respectable for them showing against the Steelers. This week traveling to Cleveland, and not sure who Cleveland's starting quarterback is going to be. Not sure it matters. I think
Baker
Detroit
Mayfield
manages to
in.
Keep it close. He does, but I'm not sure I agree with that. And more importantly, I'm not sure Cleveland's coaching staff agrees with that, but we'll see. But I think it doesn't matter. Whoever's playing quarterback for Cleveland is going to get the W. I'll say Cleveland 24 and the winless, still winless Lions 21. Sorry, Blue.
Yeah, sorry, Blue. I don't think things are getting better for the Lions. I'm actually going to take Cleveland to win this 31-14. It just, Lions defense can't slow down even a very depleted Cleveland offense. So I think Cleveland will look a little more functional, and that's mostly because it's the Lions, but this is not going to be the prettiest football game to watch. I feel pretty confident in that.
All right, next up we've got Baltimore at Chicago. Assuming Lamar Jackson is healthy enough to play, and even if he isn't, I think that they'll prevail in this game, even though it's on the road and they haven't been very impressive lately, but I think they get back on track here. Baltimore 27, Chicago 21, and you know, as with the Patriots, I think they'll be relying heavily on their run game this weekend.
Yeah, I think Chicago is getting a little better. I think Justin Fields is getting a little better. Matt Nagy's still there. This Baltimore defense is very good, but like you said, we've got a couple injuries. Things could, they're in Chicago. Things could get weird there, but I'm still going to take Baltimore to win by 10. I've got them winning 30-20.
And yeah, shout out to the, a sarcastic shout out to the NFL schedule makers who somehow saw it wise to schedule 9 early games and only 3 late games on Sunday, which, you know,
yeah,
they have the reasons for doing that, but
I would love
and the,
to know
the
what
odd
they
thing
are.
Is, I think the 3 late games are probably 3 of the better, more competitive games of the day. You know, the early games, you know, not that much there to recommend. There might be a couple close games, but I think as a slate or as a group, the late games are likely to be more competitive and more interesting than the early games. But I digress. One early game that should be pretty interesting is the NFC North showdown between the Packers and the Vikings. Aaron Rodgers put up a stinker last week at home. Let's see if he can do better on the road this week. I think he can. A lot of people probably think the Vikings are back on track since Kirk Cousins was able to take down the Chargers. I'm not so sure. I think the Aaron Rodgers is, will find a way to win this game. So I'll say final score, Green Bay 24, Minnesota 21.
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's one thing I am completely and totally sure of in this NFL season, it's that the Vikings are going to play exactly to whatever their competition is. If they're playing a terrible team, they're going to look terrible. If they're playing a great team, they're going to look like world beaters. They're playing what appears to be a good team in Green Bay, so they will appear to also be a good team, but not quite good enough. I think the Green Bay defense is going to slow down Dalvin Cook enough. Kirk Cousins probably going to throw a pick six out here. So even though Green Bay probably will have a non-existent run game because A.J. Dillon is a fumble machine and Aaron Jones is not going to play, I'm going to take Green Bay to win by a field goal, 24-21.
Okay. Next up, we've got one of the games that should not be very competitive, Houston at Tennessee. Last week, if they'd played last weekend, you probably would have had to pick Houston in hindsight, but they're playing this week, new week.
But they
no
are.
No carryover. I think Tennessee wins this in a blowout at home and continues their march through the AFC South. I'll go with Tennessee double up Houston 34-17. And we'll see if Dante Foreman is really their lead back or whether Adrian Peterson somehow rises from the figurative dead.
I think he's,
has a good
I think
week.
He's running, rising from the ashes. I think it's going to happen. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. But I've got Tennessee winning 30-14, so not quite as big, but close. Even a very beat up, you're down, you know, your number one wide receiver, your number one running back, it still shouldn't be a problem. So Houston still has some problems, and that is going to be Tennessee this week.
Next up, a game that maybe some people will be picking to be closer, given that Indianapolis had that close loss at home against Tennessee, and then, you know, victories over the Jets and Jacksonville to kind of sort of get back in the AFC, you know, wild card conversation. But I think Buffalo is just the far better team. Not sure what happened against Jacksonville 2 weeks ago, but every team has one or two clunkers like that during the season. And I think Buffalo showed against the Jets that they're, you know, able to get past bad games like that. And, you know, I'll go with them to blow out Indianapolis here. I'll say Buffalo 30, Indianapolis 17.
Ooh, okay. We're close. I've got Buffalo winning 30-21. If Carson Wentz would stop throwing so many interceptions, I might have been able to pick him to win this game, but I don't think the Buffalo defense and the fact that he probably hasn't slept all week with a new baby is going to be a very good combination, especially in Buffalo, where people are probably already jumping through tables in the parking lot. So I think Buffalo is going to be just fine this week.
Next up, I think here's one game we're going to disagree on. I'm going to pick the Jets, who have looked horrible the last 3 weeks and have only played two good games this season, both of them at home against pretty good teams. I think that they're going to actually get their act together this weekend against an almost as bad Miami team and beat them at home. I'll say Jets 27, Dolphins 24 in a mini upset.
Okay, we are certainly going to disagree on this one. I've got Miami winning 23-13. I don't think this is a game that anyone's going to be real fired up about, but Mike Gesicki is going to catch some footballs, maybe even a touchdown. But Joe Flacco, literally if anyone else were playing quarterback for the Jets, I might have been able to pick him to win this game, but not Joe Flacco. Absolutely not Joe Flacco.
He had some nice games last year when he filled in, but we'll see. The fact that they thought Josh Johnson would be a better starter than him tells you all they need to know. But
Josh Johnson,
still can't
Mike
figure
White.
Out why they gave up a draft pick to get him back. But like you said, that's the Jets.
I mean, they could have probably just called the Eagles and asked nicely. Hey, could we just have Joe Flacco? And they would have been like, sure, we've got Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
We're good. What do I know?
Speaking of Gardner Minshew and the Eagles, they're hosting the Saints. I think this is going to be one of the more interesting games in the early slate, not because these are two great teams, but you never know what you're, you know, the Forrest Gump thing about not knowing what you're going to get, you know, between these two teams week to week. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to get from either of these teams, but if Alvin Kamara is back and New Orleans defense is playing anywhere near their potential, I think they're far better than the Eagles defense. So even if the Eagles offense might be a little bit firing on all cylinders a little bit more than New Orleans at this point, I'm still going to pick New Orleans on the road to win this. Welcome back, Alvin Kamara. I'll say the Alvin Kamara is 27 and the the Jordan
the
Howard,
Jalen
Boston Hurtses. Scott, whatever's 24.
I'm actually going to pick the Eagles to win this game in a close one, 21-20, mostly because neither of these offenses really have made me feel like they're going to play a realistically good football game. And I like the New Orleans defense a lot better, but I just have this feeling that the Eagles maybe just don't know enough that they shouldn't win this game and they're just going to fall into one here. But I mean, I think it's going to be pretty low scoring. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be an interesting game to watch, and it could go either way just because, you know, both of those teams are so mercurial, but we'll see. So next up, we've got San Francisco at Jacksonville. Jacksonville seems to be a little bit more respectable the last few weeks, but they are a cat team, so alas, they will go down to defeat.
True.
San Francisco, nice game against the Rams last week. I don't know how much carryover there is, and they are playing on the East Coast at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll see how that works out for them. But I guess if you're a West Coast team, unless you're playing an evening game, you're always playing at 1 o'clock. But anyway,
yeah,
unless you're in the Central or Mountain time zones, but which doesn't happen too often. But anyway, back to the matter at hand here. I'll say San Francisco wins this in a blowout. I'll say the Jimmy Garoppolo is 34 and the Trevor Lawrence is 20.
All right. I am, shocker of all shocks, not going to pick the 49ers to win this game. I'm going to pick the Jaguars, and I think it's going to be more their run game that does it for them, but that really a lot is going to depend on what James Robinson does. But I'm going to pick Jacksonville to win 26-21, a little convincingly.
21-26, got it. Okay.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see what happens. I think that's our mini upset of the week.
The other interesting game, from my perspective, in the early games is Washington at Carolina, and just, you know, Cam Newton revenge, Ron Rivera returning. I think could go either way, but just because they're at home, I'll probably go with Carolina. That's probably the main reason going with them. And also, I like the storyline with Cam Newton for whatever reason. Maybe that'll work out here where it didn't in New England. But I'll go with them by a field goal. Just a lot of it depending, too, on Washington's health at the skill positions, running back, wide receiver, not very healthy. A lot of questionables on the list. I'll say Carolina 30, Washington 27.
I am going to go the other way on this game. I'm going to pick the WTF to win for a second week in a row. I think that Riverboat Ron is going to get the best of Cam Newton. I think we saw Cam Newton in a carefully curated set of plays where he was going to do nothing but succeed last week. I personally think we all know this from last season. I am an XFL apologist. I really enjoy PJ Walker and what he's doing. I think he would be the better option at quarterback, but they didn't spend $10 million on him. So we're going to get Cam Newton. The Washington defense, even without Chase Young, I think is still pretty formidable. And I think they're going to do enough to neutralize Cam Newton and potentially Christian McCaffrey, just enough that they can sneak in a win here. And I've got them winning 24-20.
All right. Next, we go to the late games, and Cincinnati coming off a bye week at Las Vegas, which I guess thought they had a bye the second half of the Kansas City game, but
they sure decided
anyway,
they did.
Yeah, I think they're going to bounce back, and I think they're going to win this game. I think it'll be fairly high scoring. I think both Derek Carr and Joe Burrow will have their moments, but I like Las Vegas' defense a little bit more than Cincinnati's, and Cincinnati lost some pretty bad games right before their buys. So I'll go with Las Vegas 31 and Cincinnati 24 here.
I'm going to go with Cincinnati to win this for a couple of reasons. One, they are coming off the bye. They have been very embarrassed. They are getting a little healthier, which is good. They've had plenty of time to prepare for the Raiders. And let's also remember that it is after daylight savings time. The Raiders do not historically do well in this. It's that time of year where the bottom is going to drop out of this. And while I think the Raiders overall are a more complete team, I think this week Cincinnati's going to have their number, and they're going to sneak by 30-28.
You left out one thing, though. Cincinnati's a cat team.
Bingo. I am staying on Blue's
cat
side.
Cat teams do not do
however
well
you may not
or
be.
After daylight
this is true.
Time. And
this is true. There is hard science to this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to think. No, I don't think a cat team has won a Super Bowl. The Carolina's been there several times, but they haven't won. Detroit, no. Jacksonville, no. You know, Cincinnati has been in several Super Bowls, but not one. So,
It's tough.
Maybe if
being
Cincinnati plays Carolina in a Super Bowl some year, that would be interesting.
You know, maybe this is why Blue has so much rage. This could be it.
Yeah. Well, those two teams playing, that would be like Buffalo versus Minnesota in a Super Bowl. Somebody would have to win, but not clear how that would happen. Okay.
Oh, God.
Arizona at Seattle, another interesting game. A lot of this depends on whether Kyler Murray and or DeAndre Hopkins are healthy enough to play. I'll say that Kyler Murray is healthy enough to play. That's my assumption in this pick. And you know, Russell Wilson didn't look very good in his first week back. Of course, they're at home and he's had an extra week to heal. But I still think Arizona, led by DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Collars, or at least half of A.J. Collars, pulls this out. I'll say Arizona 31, Seattle 27.
I'm going to take Arizona as well. I think they, even whoever's going to start at quarterback, whoever's going to play wide receiver, I think they have enough going. I think that James Conner is dynamic enough that I think they can steal one here, even in Seattle. I think Russell Wilson will look better, certainly without a sink last week, but Arizona's defense is gonna do enough to keep them from winning the game. Arizona's going to win 28-23. I think, like you said, these afternoon games are all going to be very good.
Yeah. Next up, the marquee matchup of the day, at least from my perspective, your Cowboys traveling
obviously
on the road to Kansas City. Kansas City looks like its offense is back in gear. Dallas's offense was certainly in gear last weekend against the Falcons. I don't think this will be quite on the epic scale of the Chiefs-Rams Monday night game from a few seasons back, where it was, 54-51 or whatever the final score was there. But
so
I think
more.
Both these teams score lots of touchdowns, and I'll go here with a final score of Kansas City 45 and Dallas 38. And what should be one of the highest scoring games of the season.
I love it. I love everything but who you picked to win. I have a little bit lower scoring game. I've got the Cowboys winning this 35-31. It makes me feel weird and uncomfortable with the Cowboys to win. It's not something I feel confident doing, but I think the Cowboys are going to show up. They're going to put their big boy pants on. And the defense, even with Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce out there, I think the Cowboys defense is going to be the difference maker here. I don't know if it's, going to be like an Ezekiel Elliott day. I think it's the defense is the reason they'll win this game, which is something new and different for the Cowboys.
Yeah, we'll see. My prediction is Patrick Mahomes throws for 700 yards on that defense. So we'll see how good they are.
Not out of the question. It's just as easy that can happen.
Yeah, that should be a fun game to watch, so I'm looking forward to that even as a Giants fan. Especially if Dallas finishes second. Let's see, Sunday night game. As interesting if Ben Roethlisberger's not playing quarterback, but I think Chargers, they looked horrible at home last week against the Vikings and losing that game. I think they bounced back this week. Any team that gets tied by the Lions is not hitting on all cylinders. I'll say Chargers 28, Steelers 24.
I've got the Chargers winning 28 and the Steelers 17. I think this game actually becomes more interesting if Ben Roethlisberger doesn't play quarterback. So we'll see what we get out there. But the Chargers are going to bounce back. They're going to look better. The Steelers maybe not so much.
Okay. So that brings us to a game I wish we didn't have to talk about, and that's the Monday night matchup. This is one of those weeks where I wish your team were playing on Monday night rather than mine, because your team is probably going to be involved in one of the more interesting games this week, and my team will probably be involved in one of the less interesting games of this week. But my Giants traveling on the road to Tampa Bay. They actually played, I think it was a Thursday night game last year at the Meadowlands, and the Giants kept it close for a while, but I just don't see that happening this time. And Giants defense has been better recently, but I just don't think they're going to be able to muster enough offense with or without Saquon Barkley. I'll say the Tom Brady's 28 and the Daniel Jones is 17.
I actually think the Giants are going to keep this close the whole way. I think that they're going to lose by a much smaller margin. Unfortunately, I'm not going to go as far as to pick them to win as much as I'd like to, but a pissed off Tom Brady coming off a loss is really not something I'm going to pick against. But I've got Tampa Bay winning 28-23. I think that defense still has a lot of issues and a lot of question marks. The Giants are going to have to throw the ball all day long, whether or not Saquon's in that game. Who's going to be healthy enough to catch it, I'm not entirely sure. But I think Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than we're maybe giving him credit for. And I think he's going to be able to make a little bit of magic happen and at least keep them around and keep Tampa Bay playing the whole game. So I am more optimistic about that.
Bit of trivia, the Giants within the last, I think, 3 weeks have played both of last year's Super Bowl teams on Monday night on the road.
I guess you guys make mad at the schedule office. Jeez Louise. That is unfortunate. I am sorry.
It's okay. We'll get a top five draft pick out of it if the Bears top five.
They can be like the Eagles and try to get two.
Yeah. So how many? We've used up four of the five already, and we haven't even talked about the Jets or the Lions or the Jaguars.
It's a very crowded top five.
Or the Texans.
So, yeah. Oh, God, there's so many. There we are. There's our 10 teams. So we're right on schedule for where we're in the season. We've obviously come to the end of all of the nuggets of wisdom we've given you to win this week. Before we go, we'll give you a couple of value picks for daily fantasy lineups. There's some good ones this week. At quarterback, you've got Tua Tagovailoa, Daniel Jones, Joe Burrows, Trevor Siemian. I'm really reaching there, but there's some value to be had. Running back Elijah Mitchell and his surgically repaired hand are going out there. Tony Pollard could be very interesting. A.J. Dillon, David Montgomery. The wide receiver, Rashad Bateman, is insanely cheap and a great value. I can't say enough about that. Robbie Anderson, who's back from the dead. Brandon Cooks, who has got a great matchup despite the fact that he's playing on the Texans. A tight end, Noah Font, Tyler Conklin, Dawson Knox, all good picks there. Defensively, the Panthers are without a doubt the best value this week. If you're looking to stack teams, Kansas City, Dallas, obviously a lot of points there. Cleveland and Miami, also going to be very good, kind of under the radar stack. So we've given you everything you could possibly need to take your season long, your daily fantasy pick. Everybody is
you don't win this
got
week,
wins.
It's your fault.
Yes, exactly. So we will be back with you next week, bringing you more wisdom, more winners, all the news and notes, everything you could need for the next week of your NFL season. We'll be back on Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, like we are every season. We will also be bringing you our Thanksgiving turkeys. That is always a good episode, so we've got that coming next week. You can find us all over social media. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. You can email us at 4thandinchesshow@gmail.com. So anywhere you get your favorite podcast, if you need some company on your commute home for Thanksgiving or wherever you're going this week, we're there for you. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Good luck this week, unless, of course, you're playing us.